It's just Marina Rapshli, sir. I find it significant this year is that Ilu Nishmas, Reb Avraham, Mr. Albert Meyer, who I remember extremely well. In fact, he taught me a multitude of subjects when I was at school. But even after school days, I used to go to him for advice, and his knowledge of Hebrew and Hebrew grammar was amazing. Tanakh, modern Hebrew, German, it was amazing. I think what I remember him most for was his music lessons and teaching. And he had this amazing skill to take some secular item of music and to adapt it to something which was Kodesh, which is a very important lesson generally in life, to adapt the secular into Kodesh. And whenever I hear Aida's chorus of the Hebrew slaves, which he adapted to Al Naros Bovel, I'm always thinking of him. Anyway, dreams. Well, why did I choose this now in the 9 days? No real reason really, but I suppose I have to try and connect it up with the idea of Tisha B'Av, because that's only in 2 days' time. And it occurred to me that the Baba Sali, Rabbi Sol Abu Hatzera, whose grandson was very sadly murdered last week, he appeared in a dream to one of his Talmidim. And he said to this Talmid, you might wonder why there has been many Hezbollah missiles coming into the Galil when there are so many tzaddikim who are buried in the Galil. You've got the Arizal, you've got Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you've got Rabbi Meir Balanes. Why is it that these graves are not stopping the missiles coming in from Hezbollah? He is in fact buried in Netivot in southern Israel, and he said, my grave cannot stop the rockets and missiles coming from Hamas as long as there is disunity amongst the Jewish people. And it was the Melitzer Rebbe who said that no terrorist can harm a Jew until one Jew harms another Jew. And the reason why we're in Golus and the reason why we have Tisha B'Av this week is because of Sinas Chinam in Klal Yisrael, and it's something which we have to remedy. And if we can remedy that fully and have Avas Yisrael throughout, then that will be a skula for us not only to get Mashiach to Kenu, but in the meantime then we shouldn't be getting any missiles. So if you can't find a reason to be nice to another Jew, you have to invent a reason. Your life depends on it, so said Reb Nachman of Breslev. Anyway, our subject is dreams. Well, are dreams to be taken seriously or not? We seem to find conflicting views coming from the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Nun Hei, Daf Nun Lo, where there's quite a bit of attention given to dreams. We did once discuss dreams before, but that was in terms of interpreting them. And this is a kind of follow-on from that, where we're not going to try interpreting dreams, but we're going to say what you have to do if you are feeling concerned. And there are various poskim who talk about how you react to certain kinds of dreams. So what do you do? Gershon's just quoted to me Rabbi Cooper Zatzal, who said that we don't worry about the dreams and forget about it. And Rashi says in Keheles that they're a figment of the day's imagination. In fact, the Gemara itself says this. What you're feeling during the day, I was dreaming just last night of a friend of mine who was making a bar mitzvah, and he made the bar mitzvah yesterday and I was there. So what do we do in terms of interpreting dreams? Do we say that they are something significant? And there is in fact a Gemara which says that they are a 60th of prophecy, Brachas Daf Nun Zayin. Or do we say that they are complete shtus, they're just a nonsense? Or is there some middle way? And in fact the Maharshal gives three ideas, different kinds of dreams, how one should treat them, different aspects. In Tanakh we've obviously got very famous dreams. We've got the dreams of Avimelech, we've got Yaakov Avinu, we've got of Lavan, Yosef. There was the butler and the baker. Paro had his dreams. And also in Tanakh, there are the two Midianites regarding Gideon and Shoftim, Shlomo HaMelech, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel. They all had dreams. In fact, all these dreams in Tanakh, we often find are also interpreted. There's one dream in Tanakh which is not interpreted, and that was the ladder which Yaakov Avinu dreamt about. But the Mefarshim on it are plenty. An interesting dream, of course, was Yosef when he had dreams making his brothers jealous or angry, and his father expressed surprise to him when he had dreamt about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him, because it was readily understood to be that the sun was his father and the moon was his mother and the other stars were his brothers. And Yaakov Avinu said to him, for whatever reason, What's this you've dreamt? Are you suggesting your mother and your brothers are going to bow down to you? And Rashi there says, why is he saying this? Because your mother, his mother was no longer alive. In fact, when they did a computer search on Rachel Mesa, they realized that they were not even at intervals of letters. Mo ha-chalom hazeh asher cholomto, the resh of asher, then cholomto, you got resh cheslamud, and then you got mem sov hei, havo nova. In the actual word, Rachel Mesa, which means that you can't say such a dream is true. So Rashi there says, brings down a medrash. It doesn't really mean his mother, it means Bila, because Bila brought him up. But the Gemara itself in Brachos doesn't accept that. The Gemara itself is saying that even Yosef's dream, which was turned out to be true some 22 years later, even Yosef's dream had some shtus in it. Every single dream has something silly in it, even if it's a true dream. And we once discussed this, that there's another Gemara which says if you have a dream of someone telling you that certain money is Maisa Sheni and you should give it to Maisa Sheni, you don't have to listen. The Shvus Yaakov, the son of the Noga Behuda, writes a long tshuva on this: if you have a dream and your late father appears to you and that certain money in a particular cupboard in the kitchen is meant to be given to Tzedakah, and you go along to that cupboard and the exact amount which he specified in the dream is there in that cupboard and he says it should be given to Tzedakah, he says you don't have to forward it to Tzedakah. Why? Because every part of the dream was true, and every dream must have a shtus in it. Every dream must have something silly in it, and therefore that must be the bit which is a shtus, because everything else was true. And he passes, you don't have to give the money to Tzedakah. So he finds some amazing ideas coming out from dreams. The Gemara then, Brachos, says that there are specific dreams which are generally true. Those that you have in the morning just before you wake up. If you have a dream about a friend. If you have a dream which is inside a dream. The Marshal distinguishes between dreams of the Malach and dreams of the Shade, the demon, which is not easy for us to determine. But those Shade or neutral dreams, Hakol Harech Achapeh, it goes according to the mouth. What does it mean, it goes according to the mouth? That whoever interprets the dream in a particular way, that's the way the interpretation will be. So when somebody tells you that he had a dream, you should say, ah, yeah, that was a good dream. Because HaKol HaLech HaPeh goes after the mouth. And we find this with Yosef in prison, with the butler and the baker. Kasher Posah Kein Hoyo. In the way he interpreted it, so it was. So Chazal say on this, because HaKol HaLech HaPeh. However, there are views as to whether a dream might or might not come true. In fact, the Rivah says in Vayesha that Yosef had a third dream, but the Torah doesn't relate it because it wasn't a dream which came true. The Chizkuni also writes this. Sometimes the dreams are partially true then and partially false, and this is a psak from the Shutz Rav Palin. What about if a person has a dream that he was being put into Nidoy, in excommunication? Then we should take it seriously. It's a dream which one shouldn't take any chances about. But if it's a dream about monetary matters, then we don't give it that much importance. In fact, the Ramah writes in Yeridel that it has no validity whatsoever in applying it for halacha. The Shivas Tzion writes that we are only concerned about dreams when you have something telling you about the future, as though it's a prophecy. But if it's something about the past, you disregard it. But the Steich Hemed, adding to this, says that future dreams should be of major concern. The Orach HaShulchan writes in Siman Reish Peches, it's really down to the individual. If it worries you, then you have to be concerned about it. But if it doesn't worry you and you think it's a load of rubbish, then just forget about it. Then that brings us really to the idea of Tanis Chalom, Hatovas Chalom, and we're going to talk about other aspects as well, because it's not that far to go to Tishri with the season of the Yom Tovim, and so we're going to reflect a bit on that. Next month we're going to do Erev Tavshilin, which we got three times coming up, and the month after we'll be dealing with Yom Tov. So we're already thinking now of Yom Tov, and in the Duchanim, the Birchas Kohanim, which takes place on Yom Tov, we have a Ribono Shel Olam prayer, which is said, okay, for those who want, we can pass some Siddurim round. And there And there is a prayer which we say when the Kohanim are lengthening with a tune. Vichunecho, Vishmarecho and Vichunecho, and also Shalom. The Kohanim lengthen their singing, and the reason why they do this is to give you a chance to say a prayer, which is a prayer about dreams which you may have forgotten about. So the art scroll, which is just for Shabbos and Yom Tov art scroll, has it on page 608. That's the one with the English. The ones with the Hebrew only, 310. And it's surprising, really, because there are very few who write about this, but this is written in the Gemara itself, in Gemara Brachos. The text, or the general text of this, is actually formulated in the Gemara. There's also something which we're going to discuss, which is called Hatovas Chalom, which is in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch, and yet you don't even find that in the Art Scroll Siddur. Not to suggest that we paskin by art scroll, but it's something which is practical modern day halacha and also gives us a certain outlook. So, I am yours and my dreams are yours. Now that's a rather strange thing to say. Why can't it just say the next phrase, chalom chalamti? I have dreamt a dream or dreams, and I've forgotten what it is. So here we're in a situation, not that you're worried about the dream which you dreamt because you know what the dream was and it was very traumatic. Here we're talking about you don't know what dreams are, because very often you wake up and you have forgotten almost straight away, if not before you've woken up, what the dream was. And so, since dreams can have an effect on the Vua, according to many opinions, and it concerns you, so you're making a prayer. Look, you can't lose out. If the dream was rubbish, then you haven't lost out. If the dream meant something, then you want to do something about it. If you've forgotten what the dream was, then you're in a real pickle, because you don't know what to do about it, because it was forgotten. So this is the prayer to deal with forgotten dreams. That means, please Hashem, all my dreams regarding myself shall be for the good. Whether I dreamt about myself, whether I dreamt about others, Ben Shechalamti Alatzmi, Ben Shechalamti Alachem, whether others dreamt about me, if the dreams were good, yes please, strengthen them. Chas came the unsafe, his kind would be. However, if not so, then I ask for them to be turned from a curse into a blessing, just like the curse of wicked Bilam. Why is this actually in the Birkas Kohanim? Well, in the Birkas Kohanim, the whole tzibur is going to say Amen three times, and so what you're doing is you're being an opportunist and grabbing the chance that this prayer you say will also get an Amen from the whole tzibur. And therefore, when you will say this prayer, you won't say it while the Kohanim are saying their words, because you don't want to disrupt the bracha which they are giving to you. So when they are saying v'yishmerecha, v'chunecha, and all these other words, you won't say anything. You'll keep quiet. But when they're singing their la-di-da-di-das, according to whatever tune it is, the Yom Tov, usually each Yom Tov has a different tune sometimes, so then you'll get the chance. Sometimes the Kohanim are a bit too quick. Hear that, David? So they don't give us enough chance to say this, and maybe they should be a bit slower. But if you are short of time, then you'll have to abridge it a bit, because you want to time yourself in such a way that the Amen to your Ribbono Shel Olam will be the same time as the Amen that the Tzibur will give. The Gemara suggests also, if you are short of time, you might simply say the Adir Bamarom prayer, that which is, you'll find it after the Birkas Kohanim of the Siddur, which is very short. And some say you should just say that instead, but the Minhag Olam is to say Adir Bamarom after the Birkas Kohanim is over. Or you'll say it also whenever you hear, during the whole year, on any weekday, you'll hear the Birkas Kohanim from the Chazan without the Kohanim being present. And you'll also say Adir Bamarom.
Can I just ask you, did you explain why we say? Why don't the Kohanim just carry on? Why are we saying anything?
Right.
Why
just on Yom Tov? In Chutz Laaretz we only have the Birkas Kohanim on Yom Tov, and it's assumed that you're not having dreams or bad dreams that often, so whatever you have might stack up and build up till the next Yom Tov. And Yom Tov being a special time when the Tzibur are together and you have this prayer being said, in Hatovas Chalom, which we will discuss in a minute, it also contains the bracha, which the three people who listen to the person saying it, they say Yivarecho Hashem v'Yishmerecho. As part of the prayer Hatovas Chalom, it's a bit like Hataras Nadorim, where you stand in front of three people and you say, all the vows I had, I'm now annulling them. And they say, Hakol Mutzalach, etc., the vows are annulled. In Hatovas Chalom, you get three people who know you, who are friends of yours, and they will say that this dream that you dreamt is a good dream. And we will go through that in a moment. And at the end of the bracha which they give you, they say, Yivarecho Hashem Yishmerecho, Yir Hashem Ponav Elecho Vichunecho, etc. So, when you are coming to Yom Tov and you're saying this Rabbeinu Shlomo prayer, that is also a form of Hatovas Chalom. So I've really dealt with things in the wrong order. I should have explained all about Hatovas Chalom and then come on to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. But, so because it's a kind of Hatovas Chalom, you also got there, Yivarecho Hashem Yishmerecho. And here the Kohanim are saying it. So we exploit the brach of the Kohanim to be for a double good, not just for general use, being the Birkas Kohanim, but also the Hatovas Chalom when we say this text. So when the Kohanim do their La-di-da, you can say this Ribbono Shel Olam smuggled in, and according to the Vilna Gaon, you're going to say this Ribbono Shel Olam three times. Because you'll see that for the last third part of Birkas Kohanim, there is a different prayer of Yehi Rotzon Lefanecho. Dreams three times, not going to do a different one for the word shalom. Alright. Yes?
Michael, you asked your wife, because on it, the Kohanim, sing with the I, if any.
Right, because you're not allowed to speak. In fact, when you look at the Siddur, you'll see against each one of these words a pasuk. And a lot of people mistakenly say those verses when the Kohanim are duchening. One shouldn't. One can look at them. But one doesn't say them. One shouldn't say anything because it's like a servant who is being blessed by his master. He's not going to be chatting on his mobile phone whilst he's being given a blessing. You have to be quiet. So when the Kohanim are actually saying the words, you have to be shtum, quiet. And you don't say those verses, and you don't say the Ribbono Shel Olam. Only when they're doing their nigun, that is the reason for the nigun, then you do Ribbono Shel Olam. The minag is that on Shabbos they're not doing a nigun. And I think the reason for that is because you don't ask for your needs on Shabbos. Although some hold differently, because if you're worried so much about your dreams, there could be a pikuach nefesh involved, it's a sakona. So why shouldn't you ask for your needs on Shabbos? In fact, years ago, we never had in this shul, in the North End in Adas, duchening on Shabbos. And I remember it must have been sometime in the late 1960s that Rav Kupa Zatzal got up and he said, for years and years this shul has never duchened on Shabbos. And I've tried to look in the sources and I cannot find any good reason why we don't duchen on Shabbos, which falls on Yom Tov. From now on we're going to duchen. Were you there at the time?
I think it was later than the late 60s, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right. And from then on, duchening takes place on Shabbos in this shul. But does the III take place? No, it doesn't. Yeah, like many other communities. Yes.
I heard that the III is actually hang over from the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Kohen Gadol would say the Sheinan Perosh, and people weren't supposed to hear that, and the Kohanim sang a song to obscure them.
That's very interesting. So the Kohanim would drown out the Kohen Gadol's Sheinan Perosh. Shkoyach. Interesting.
Them's in the wrong place.
Well, there's no shame on the Thorosh here, but it's an illusion that David's saying to what happened in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. And now, the strange thing about this prayer is that when you start saying it, you say, Ani Shalach v'chalam osai Shalach, I am yours and my dreams are yours. What is actually being said here? Is it, obviously, I am belonging to Hashem, but what does it mean, my dreams are yours? And I looked around trying to find somebody who explains this, and there's a Rabbi Elchanan Adler who explained that there is an important lesson in Birkas Kohanim, that we show that we are subservient to Hashem even in our subconscious, even with our dreams. And dreams are a function of our thoughts and of our imagination. So even that is belonging to Hashem, and we're totally resigning ourselves to be subservient to Hashem by saying, Ani Shalach v'chalam osai Shalach. And everything in the world has divine hashkocha. And of course the Kohanim are giving us a blessing that everything should turn out for the good. And so everything is under Hashem's control, that this connects up with the Bichas Kohanim. So even if I don't know what my dream is, that doesn't depart from your divine scheme, we're saying to Hashem. I don't even know what's in store for me, but because there is a divine plan and everything's in Hashem's hands, that is something that we're acknowledging. There's some very interesting stories about dreams, and this Rav Conan Adler actually told a story which is about the Mahari Ben Lev, who wrote four volumes of Shailos HaTshuvos, and this story is actually in the Hakdoma, where it talks about his generations, his family and so on. But it's a story about Rav Mordechai Slonim, and he wrote a letter to Rav Pinchos Michoel of Antropolia, and this was in the year 1871, which is quite amazing, because the event which is referred to by the Mahari Ben Lev took place about 336 years earlier, in the year 1545. And he had several dreams during the month of Tishri, where the Mahari Ben Lev appeared to him. And he said to him that after a din Torah which took place between two litigants, one of these litigants, who was a wealthy man and prominent in the community but would not accept the psak of Mahari Ben Lev, after the din Torah actually gave a punch in the jaw to the Rav Mahari Ben Lev. And he appeared in a dream over 300 years later to a person who was descended from this man who punched him in the face. And he said, a tikkun is needed in Shomayim for what was done. And you, as a descendant, have a duty now to try and do a tikkun to remedy what your ancestor had done by punching me in the face. A remarkable dream, a series of dreams which is spoken about here. And he said, what you have to do is you have to get hold of my Shailos HaTshuvos, and you should learn them and make sure they are shigur al picho, that you're fluent with them. And it'll take you a period of 4 years, because you need time for doing your other shirim as well, and this is in addition to what you're learning already. And he didn't find it, he couldn't find the shop which had it, and then he appeared to him again in a dream saying, no, why haven't you done houses yet? And he said, I've told you where to go. Go to this particular Rav Pinchos Michal of Antelopolia, and he has it. And offer him whatever money is necessary to buy it from him. Because that money, there's another problem up here in Shemaim. That Rav has written a sefer and it's not published yet. It's got to become published, and he needs the money. And that money which you give him will result in the publication of his sefer. Mind-boggling. And that's what happened. He got hold of the shuvas and so on. And there's another amazing dream which he relates, which is quite well known, about Rav Mordechai Gifter, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tels, which is in Cleveland, Ohio. And he had he was invited to a chasna of a former Talmud of his in New York, some say it was Baltimore, and he boarded a plane. They had 9 tickets, so he brought along Talmidim of his, and all 9 of them boarded a plane for Cleveland, but they were meant to change at Pittsburgh, and they missed the connecting flight because of a snowstorm in New York or something like that. And so they were stuck there in Pittsburgh, and they realized they had to double mincha, but they only had 9 people. So they asked a janitor who was in the airport if he could find a room for them somewhere where they could daven out of disturbance's way. And this janitor was looking at them with amazement. And he stood there watching him davening mincha, and he said to them, can I say Kaddish? And they looked at him as if he came out from the moon. Who was this guy? And he said to them, you know, I had a dream just last night. I've got nothing to do with Judaism whatsoever, but I come from a family of Jews, and my father, who died last week, he appeared to me and he said to me, say Kaddish for me. And I said to my father in the dream, how can I? What do I do? I don't know how to say it. And apparently one needs to have 10 people. I need a minion. And my father said to me in the dream, you don't worry about the minion. I'll sort that out for you. But you say Kaddish for me. It's necessary for my neshama. And they taught him how to say Kaddish, and they had that minion there at Pittsburgh Airport. And Rav Gifter said to his Talmidim, you see, it was Hashgacha Pratis, not that we go to this wedding, which we missed, but that we come and we say Kaddish for this neshama. Amazing dream. Anyway, let's get back to these bits and pieces of the tefillahs of Ribbono Shel Olam and Hatavas Chalom. If you've got time, we might talk about one or two more amazing dreams. Hatavas Chalom is mentioned in the Gemara, and the text of it is given in the Gemara in Brachos, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim Siman Reish Chaf. If a person is worried about it, if you don't care about it, fine, you don't have to bother doing it. But if you're worried about a dream, whatever it is, then you make it good. You can transform it. How? By appearing in front of three people. And strangely, it's not in the Art Scroll Siddha, even though it's Halacha Lemaisa. But there are Siddurim which have it. The Siddur of Yaakov Emden has it. The Siddur of the Chidor has it. I've got a few photocopies here if anyone wants one. And what one does is one gets these three people in front of you and to say, I saw a good dream. That's how you start off. I saw a good dream, even though you think to yourself it wasn't really a good dream. And you say this three times. And the three people say back, what you dreamt was a good dream, and what you dreamt was a good dream. They say it three times, and then there is a series of pasukim which are said relating to three ideas. One is the idea of transforming, hafoch. Lahafoch means to turn round. So there are three pasukim given relating to turning, to transforming, which the dreamer says, and then they answer with two other psukim, which ends up with "V'hafachti evlom v'sosom," I have turned round your mourning into joy. And then there's another pasuk, and Hashem transformed esaklol libracha. So those are the three pasukim relating to transformation. Then there are three pasukim relating to pidoy, to redemption. Vayoma el shol hayorasan yomus, and there it says vayiftu ha'omis yonosan velomes ufuduye Hashem yeshuvun uvod tzion derino. The Simcha Sonam Hashem Simcha Yasigun, and then he says a pasuk about Shalom, which is very near Tzvasayim Shalom, peace. Shalom Shalom Lerachok, and they reply with two pasukim about Shalom. Ruach Lo Hashoy Sam Osai Rosh Hashalishim Umechobin Shai Shalom Shalom Lechob Shalom Leuzrecho Ki Azor Hashem. And then there's another pasuk Vamasim Ko Lechoy Vatov Shalom Veischo Shalom. You will be peace, your house shall be peace, Hashem Ozavayitain, Hashem Yivorek Esamev Shalom. And then there are some other pesukim. The dreamer then says, Hashem Shamati Shimachoyo Resi. Hashem has heard me and I hear his voice. And if we have time, we'll come back to that. Ezri Meim Hashem Ose Shemayim Voretz, and a few other bits and pieces. So there's an interesting prayer, which very few people seem to know about, so I thought it's important to highlight it. If you're concerned about a dream, you've got a remedy. You've got the remedy of, well, we've got the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Duchenne. We've got Hatavas Chalom, which can be said on any day of the year. It can be done on Shabbos as well. And in addition to that, there's such a thing as Tanis Chalom. If a person's so worried about a dream that he had, he can fast. And again, there is a siman about this in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shabbos, and that is in Siman Reish Peches, about fasting on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, that is to say. Now, one shouldn't fast on Shabbos. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos for more than half a day. But if you're so worried about the effect of the dream, if it was a bad dream, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about what kinds of dreams would be subject to Hatavas Chalom. For example, if one saw a Sefer Torah Chas V'Shalom being burnt, or one saw Me'ilah on Yom Kippur, fearful things, then one can fast even on Shabbos. If a dentist was pulling out your tooth, it might be a bad dream. But if you dream about it tonight, it's because I was talking about it today. So, what if it is Shabbos? You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. It's a sakona, you feel. And if it's a sakona, then you can do something on Shabbos, which is a bit against the rules. So it's possible to fast on Shabbos, but since it is your choice the Aruch HaShulchan says it is your choice, then as an atonement for fasting on Shabbos, you have to fast an additional day of the week during the following week. Beginning to sound a bit like Ramadan, but if one has a dream on Friday night, then one dreams on one fasts on Shabbos, and one is allowed to, but one has to make up for it during the week. If one has a bad dream during the Shabbos, like Shabbos afternoon, then one might fast for the rest of Shabbos. And all this is an atonement, because the siman of a bad dream is the one is supposed to do teshuva. And therefore it can only turn out to be something for the good. And for something to do teshuva, one fasts. Or if one can't fast, one can give tzedakah, which is another remedy. But these are ways of overcoming bad dreams. So there again we have it. If you want, you can have a photocopy of the text. I've also got the text of the Chidor, which is slightly different, but not substantially. The Tosefta in Maaseh Sheni says dreams have no effect at all. You don't have to care about any dreams. And the Ran in Sanhedrin says that your dreams have no halakhic validity. You're not going to paskin the halakha from dreams. And this is also brought in the Meiri, in the She'iltas, in the Kates. The Netziv writes in his Aimek She'ela that only monetary matters we ignore when it comes to dreams. But other things we should really take notice of. The Ramah doesn't worry about the validity of dreams, but the Rambam writes in Ron Avuchim, in chapter 2, part 36, that there is a connection between dreams and prophecy. The Shavuos Yaakov says, what if the dream is about some relative who died recently? Then you should take that dream very seriously. If you have a dream about something to do with the dignity of a relative who died in the last 30 days, then we accept it very seriously, and so says also the Sefer Chassidim. Yes.
This prophecy, the whole thing, is between the
yes. One of them went to an interpreter and paid money and got good interpretations, and one of them went to an interpreter and paid no money and got bad interpretations.
And then
Hakol Holech Achahapet, that's right.
So we did
deal with this in the previous shiur we once did about dreams, which is quite a time ago, but you can hear it online. What if a doctor has a dream that he should not prescribe a particular medicine as it will be fatal for his patient? If he's not sure, then maybe he should take it seriously, says the Sudei Chemed. But if he's sure and 100% sure that this prescription of drugs he's going to give is definitely okay, he can do so. If he's not sure but another doctor is sure, then get the other doctor to do it, he says. That's the tshuva of Ber Moshe in Chelek Gimel Kuf Ayin Gimel. I suppose in those situations one can ask a shayla to a rav and that will let you off the hook. What if you made a vow in a dream? Are you bound to the promises that you made? We recently discussed promises. The Ran in the Dorim Daf Ches says you do not have to have a Hatoras Ledorim, you can ignore it. But the Rashba differs in opinion, so there is a Machlokes Rishonim, and in his Tshuvas Chelek Aleph part 668, he says that you do need Hatoras Nadorim for what you promised in your dream. So some say you need 10 people in front of you, not 3, because it might be something which is even more prominent than had you said it when you are in a conscious state. What if your wife had a vow? Now normally you can cancel her vows, Hatoras Nadorim, within certain restrictions. You can't do Haforas Nadorim on a wife's vow which was made in a dream. But the Taz says Haforas Nadorim is okay, so he paskens. Now, talking about if there was a deceased relative, somebody once came to the Sadigera Rebbe Shlita, whose son is a Rav in Golders Green, and said to him that he's had a dream about his father, and he's had this dream 3 times in a row. And his father said, come to me, come to me. And this really worried him, especially 3 times in a row, 3 nights in a row. So he asked the Sadigera Rebbe what he should do. And the Rebbe said to him, I want you to go straight away to your father's grave. It's in Poland, you have to take a plane. He said, take the next plane which is available and just go to the grave. Drop everything and just go. And that's what he did. He came to the grave, and just as he arrived, there was a bulldozer about to dig it up. and all the other graves around it, and you managed to stop it in time. Remarkable. There's a dream which was told by Rav Baruch Chait, was once travelling on a bus. He taught in a yeshiva called Chofetz Chaim in Sanhedrin Yerushalayim, and he was travelling on a bus from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, and there was a woman next to him who kept asking him the time, and he was very puzzled about this. Alright, people don't carry watches on them, but why did she have to ask what the time was all the time? And it was 20 to 6, quarter to 6. And he said, look, I hope you don't mind me asking, but why are you asking me about the time all the time? And she said, well, I had a dream, I had a few dreams about my mother who appeared to me, and she said that I wasn't following the right ways and that I should repent and do this and do that. Anyway, the last dream she appeared to me was last night. She said she's going to meet me at the Shalom Tower in Tel Aviv at 6 o'clock. So I'm ever so curious to know what's going to happen, so I want to make sure I'm on time. So, very curious, of course, Rabbi Chait decided to follow her and to see what would happen. And just as she was crossing the street, and it was 6 o'clock, outside the Shalom Tower, a car came and knocked her down and killed her. It certainly made him shaken for a while. A very interesting and joyous kind of series of dreams took place back in a place in Spain called Zaragoza. In the year 1461, I think it was, there was a custom every year for the king to come out on a procession. And it was the custom in those days that the Jews who came out to meet the king would carry the Sifrei Torah. In fact, there's an interesting teshuva in the Ksav Sofer about this, when it's going to happen on the Shabbos, but we'll deal with that another time. Here in this case, they were coming out on a weekday, and the Jewish people, there were 12 shuls in the town, and 3 Sifrei Torah were taken from each shul to greet the king. Anyway, there was one guy who was a Jew hater. He was originally a Jew, he became geschmut and turned and rebelled against the Jews, and being very anti-Semitic, he wanted to get the Jews into trouble, and he found out that when they bring out these Sifrei Torah, they were these Sfardi kind of Sifrei Torah, which are outer cases where the scroll is inserted inside. And he found out that when they went out to greet the king, they were not actually having inside the casing the cloth, the leather, the Sifrei Torah themselves, the proper parchment. Why? Because some Oibachuchim said, why do we have to schlep around the Kedusha of the Sifrei Torah outside? It's not so coveted for them. Let's leave them in the shul and just carry out the outer casings. It's always these Jews who get the other Jews into trouble. Perek HaNezokin talks about why we have Tisha B'Av, why the temple was destroyed, because certain Rabbonim were overzealous about the mum of an animal which was given as a test to see how loyal we were to the sovereign. Anyway, in this case, that's another connection for Tisha B'Av. So in this case, the fellow went to the king and said, you think the Jews are so loyal to you, you think that they're so wonderfully loyal to the sovereign, they are laughing at you behind your back because they're not really taking out their holy scrolls, they're just taking out the casing. And he said, really? I don't believe this. He said, I promise you, you go and check at the next procession, you look inside one of their so-called Sifrei Torah, you'll see nothing is inside them. All right, I'll do that. The night before the procession was due to take place, the shamas of each one of these shuls, of 12 shuls, had exactly the same dream of Eliyahu HaNavi appearing to them and saying to them, don't tell anybody about this dream that you're now having, but make sure that the cloth of the Sefer Torah is put inside the metal casing when you go out on the royal procession. And in the middle of the night, the shamas at each shul ran out of bed, ran to the shul, and put the Sifrei Torah back in the casing. And then the procession took place, and the king came out on his horse, and had next to him his advisor, who was this Geshmata Yiz, the anti-Semite, who said, now's your chance, open them up. And the king came up to the royal procession and said, thank you, communities, for coming to greet me. Can I please look inside your holy scrolls? And the Jewish people who were carrying them got enormously frightened. They were opened up, and there was the cloth inside. And the king was very angry with this so-called advisor. He ordered him to be put to death, And he said to the Jewish community, because you are so loyal to the sovereign, I'm going to give you a tax exemption for 3 full years. And as a result of that event, they celebrated every year on the 17th of Shavuot, Purim Saragoza. And they wrote a Megillah, which they read, and you can actually see this Megillah on the internet, which they read every single year to celebrate the Purim of Saragoza, the miracle which happened, all as a result of the dreams which the shamus of each shul had. So let's not downplay the significance of dreams.
They were told not to tell anyone about this.
And they were told not to tell anyone.
Well, they obviously did, because otherwise we wouldn't know it.
They were told not to tell anyone else before it happened, because I think there was a worry that it might leak and... it might spoil things a little bit. Purim of Saragoza. Yeah, there are other Purims like the Purim of Frankfurt and so on, but we'll have to discuss those another time. Anyway, the subject of Atavas Chalom, little known that it is, ends up with a person saying, Hashem Shamati Shimacho Yoresi. And a person is saying, Mode ani lefanecho, I am making myself subservient to you. That if some tragedy has happened, I'm accepting it as my responsibility, as my fault. We find in the secular world, when some tragedy happens, there's always an attempt with a blame culture to put it on somebody, to put it on the politicians, to put it on this and to put it on that. Freak weather, climate change. There is a mentality, always put the blame on something else and never on ourselves. What a person is accepting when you read the text of HaTovas Chalom is a person is accepting upon himself that there must be something wrong with him, that he's had this bad dream. And as a result of what's happened to him, he's accepting he has to do something about it. So in addition to getting people to say, yes, it's a good dream, everything will be alright, that reassurance alone is not enough. He's also saying a kind of vidoy at the end of that dream. That one has to examine oneself and not blame others. And this is now the message for the 9 days. That when we are hoping and praying for our temple to be speedily rebuilt, the way we have to achieve the remedy is to reflect it upon ourselves. And not say it's Yenom's fault. And that there are other Jews who are spoiling everything and they're the ones who are ruining things for us. And that's a very easy temptation to do, which unfortunately happens a lot nowadays. Of this kind of Jew is no good and that kind of Jew is no good and we are the righteous ones. We need an Avas Yisrael, that we are all together in an orchestra playing different tunes but which harmonize with each other. And we have to accept that what we are doing is not enough. And we have to do more in order to achieve the final redemption, which should hopefully happen speedily in our days. Fast, well, if it's going to be a fast, hopefully it will be a Yom Tov. Thank you very much.